Downtown areas have had a rough ride over the last several decades. The days when we had to go downtown for shopping and business got left behind when we started building shopping centers with huge parking lots. But there's always an interest in keeping the heart of a city intact and even making it better, more vibrant, more attractive. Redding is one of many communities around California that applied for designation of a portion of town as a cultural district. And Redding made it to the round of semifinalists on a list that includes districts in Eureka, Arcata, and Weaverville, too. Two guests join us. Deborah Lucero is the executive director of the Shasta Arts Council, which is the lead agency among a handful on the cultural district designation for Redding. Deborah, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
And Rachel Hatch is with us as well. She's the program officer at the McConnell Foundation, which is also taking a part in this process. Rachel, thank you for joining in.
Great to be here.
So, Deborah Lucero, Shasta Arts Council is the lead agency, what is the effort about generally? What's the attraction for Redding to take part in this?
Well, the biggest attraction is there is definitely a huge push that's been happening over the course of the last, 7 years, but goes back even a little further than that. But the last 2 to 3 years, we have just had an influx of the creative economy types who are wanting to be in downtown Redding. And as the Arts Council, when we heard that legislation had passed in November of 2015, we started looking at what a Redding cultural district might be, what the boundaries might be, what it might look like. John Truitt with Viva Downtown and I sat down and literally drew out what does our district need to be. We're a big area, but we're rural in nature. We're really emerging as a cultural district, and our goal was to tie our world-class assets that are at the River Bend, which include the botanical gardens and Turtle Bay and all of the beautiful walkways, actually the whole area there, to our downtown. And so what we did is we created two distinct and unique walkable areas that are connected by a green loop that is a bicycle walkable trail, most of which is completed, and the last part of it that starts at the Diesel Horse Landing actually is slated to be done in the next year, and it's already funded. So there are really two separate areas, the downtown area, which is kind of the urban experience with a variety of arts and culture, history, food, and entertainment destinations, and then the Sundial Bridge area, which is Turtle Bay, McConnell, Botanical Gardens, Redding Civic Auditorium, Rodeo Grounds, Riverfront Park, Caldwell, and Lake Redding Park, and, of course, the beautiful Diesel Horse Landing. So it's kind of an amazing area. There's 68 public art sites, 53 restaurants, and we have over 20 major events that connect our two distinct areas.
Was that 68 art sites and 53 restaurants?
Yes, and over 20 major events that are happening. And of course, we have world-class entertainment with the Cascade Theater and with the Redding Civic Center, Old City Hall, the Dip, Vintage Wine Bar, and then, of course, the art, the visual arts. And we're really regional and, in some cases, drawing national and international entertainment to the city.
So, in a sense, you're really kind of out ahead of the game. I mean, you've done a lot of the work, it sounds like, that they're looking for the designation of a cultural district.
We have done a lot of the work, but I think the internal work of connecting all of us and understanding a larger vision rather than marketing independently of one another, but marketing together to a new audience as well as to an internal audience. I don't know how many times I hear, well, there's really nothing to do in Redding. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, really? Every night of the week there's a theater performance, a dance performance, live music, amazing restaurants are popping up, and Rachel can speak to some of the really cool Makers Faire that came recently to Redding, and the response is just, it's been amazing. It's because we have such an influx of young people to the city.
I do want to turn to Rachel Hatch now at the McConnell Foundation, which is named for its original benefactors, longtime residents of far northern California. This is kind of right up the alley of the McConnell Foundation because it's about, in part, revitalizing downtown Redding, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, and you know, the foundation overall is focused on helping to build better communities through philanthropy. And my role is a new one where I'm really focused on community vitality specifically. And downtown Redding and the proposed cultural district is an important part of that. So, you know, the past month or so since I've been in this new role, I've been having lots of conversations with people of all ages across the community. And the number one word that I've heard is potential, that so many people see that there are these kind of gems that are at every turn, but that they could stand to be better connected to each other and for people to have more visibility into them. So for that reason, I think the Cultural District is a perfect opportunity for those of us who are here to better connect with each other and really see the amassed assets that are here. And hopefully to be able, if we make it, you know, to the final stage, to be able to tell that story to the broader state of California and to the world.
I'm glad you pointed out how recent you are to the job. Have you been there a month yet?
It's, yeah, I'll be a month later this week.
It's not like hitting the ground running, huh?
Yeah, it's. I mean, this community is really important to me, and I think the this moment that we're in, there is a potential influx of interest, particularly in the downtown Reading area. And, you know, these moments don't come along very often. It's a cyclical thing to go into these stages of renewed interest, building on what everybody has been up to in the past. But I look at our downtown right now and I think about things like the growing fashion scene that's there. There's the Reading Fashion Alliance, which is really focused on strengthening teaching about fashion, so things like sewing skills, also makers of fashion. There's Carousel Boutique, which is a women's clothing boutique that's in downtown. And all of it, I think, links to this maker instinct that Deborah mentioned earlier. When we had the mini maker fair in Shasta County this past year in the fall, it was the very first time it had been done. Of course, these exist all across the country. But 2,800 people came out the very first year for this event at the Reading Civic Auditorium. And that includes, you know, makers themselves, volunteers, attendees who just wanted to experience kind of tapping that maker instinct in a wide range of mediums.
We're talking about the possible formation or state identification of a cultural district in Reading with Rachel Hatch from the McConnell Foundation and Deborah Lucero, who's the executive director at the Shasta Arts Council, which is leading the effort for Reading. It's actually Reading is a semifinalist with the Creamery District in Arcata, the Eureka Arts and Culture District, obviously in Eureka, and the Weaverville Art and Heritage Cultural District. So those are four places in the North State on the list of about 22 places that are semifinalists in this program. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So Deborah, as much as has been done already to develop or redevelop downtown Reading and create a sense of vibrancy, what addition would you get from being designated as a cultural district?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that. That's a great question, because that's a question that, you know, the people within the district are asking, well, what will this really get us? And so when we had our site visit, the two state staff folks who came from the California Arts Council, I think they were rather amazed. We filled the room with about 50 stakeholders, and this was everybody from the head of Caltrans to city leaders, elected officials, business people, developers, nonprofit organizations, artists, musicians, people who own recording studios or media outlets. And, you know, it was kind of amazing. There was just so much enthusiasm for this project. But one of the things they all wanted to know is, what will this get us? And what I know, it's what I know is going to happen, because I know about Visit California as a website. They get about 23 million visitors a year, and the state is working cooperatively, the California Arts Council, with their tourism sector to make a portal that will be only for the cultural districts of California. So we immediately gain status like a state park or a national park. So these will be cultural districts that will be visible to residents as well as non-residents as well as international travelers on a daily basis.
Is there a limit to the number of cultural districts? I mean, obviously there's some limit. I just wonder if there's a numerical cap, though.
This year they are capping it at, they haven't released the final number, but it's 10 or 15 districts.
Okay.
And then there won't be another reapplication period until 2019. And so we're kind of the guinea pigs if we do get selected to help the state with their guidelines. There are about 13 states that currently have cultural districts throughout the U.S., and the number of districts vary state by state. Louisiana, after Katrina, used it as an economic development builder for their ravaged economies after that catastrophe. And they actually have the most cultural districts, I believe at 78. But it goes back clear to Rhode Island, which is one of the oldest. And I think they have, and I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's under 15. So each state is different and can create these districts. They can have tax incentives. They can create codes that help the businesses. You know, what we would like to see is that people want to move into the district. So our downtown will begin to be filled because there's something happening. And all of our vacancies that we have right now, we'd like to see filled up.
When you said it can affect codes, you mean like building codes, things like that?
Yeah, it can. Some districts adopt a program where there's incentives to refacade your building so that there's more of a look, maybe a historic look to the buildings that are being built. And we are actually working with McConnell to identify all of the historic assets in downtown Reading, which has been super wonderful to watch. And a lot of these buildings that you would never suspect are brick, are actually brick underneath, and they've just been stuccoed over or cemented over, and you just wouldn't know that underneath is this beautiful brick structure. And most likely those bricks were made right in Reading because two of the largest brick manufacturers were located in Reading at the turn of the century.
Wow, we're talking about a cultural district for the city of Reading with Deborah Lucero from the Shasta Arts Council and Rachel Hatch at the McConnell Foundation. So McConnell's obviously got this goal of revitalizing downtown Reading. Do you see this at the foundation, Rachel, as a step in a longer process, a lever to bring in more resources?
Exactly, yeah. And you know, I think that along with resources, one of the things that we often, you know, people often underestimate is the importance of relationships between people in a local community. You know, so that we know what each other is doing and we can amplify each other and collaborate even more so. And I see the Reading Cultural District that has been proposed as one of the kind of accelerators of that process. The other thing I would mention, Jeffrey, just to your listeners who know that there are other communities across the state that are in the running for this, one of the things I find distinctive about the proposed Reading Cultural District boundaries is that it really acknowledges that connection with the natural environment, with outdoor recreation and trails is an important part of our culture, our arts and culture here. So, for instance, on Monday nights, the Native Roots Network meets at the Sundial Bridge. This is a group of mostly indigenous, local indigenous people. They meet at the Sundial Bridge, which is within the proposed cultural district, and they go on a kind of walk-run every Monday night with Fidelity, where they go on those trails that are right down by the Sacramento River. And one of the bylines that they've said is, to run is to remember. So it's really a chance for local indigenous people to connect with the natural environment, to have some intergenerational cultural engagement, and to do that on the trails that are such an important part of the cultural district. So I think that's a differentiator of this particular area.
Okay, so a lot of components certainly coming into this. Deborah Lucero, then, what kind of mounds of paperwork and presentations did you have to put together to be considered for this?
Well, you know, honestly, I'm used to writing enormous grants. This one was a 10-page letter of interest, and then they asked for a lot of support documents. So really, it was about a 3-month process to get everything together. And again, as Rachel alluded to, the most important part of this are our partners. And we actually have three major partners. We're the lead agency, and this is what's required of the California Arts Council. They required an arts agency, a Main Street organization or a business association, and the actual city of Reading, which is those are the three legal partners. And then we have three other partners who are essential to this process. Obviously, the McConnell Foundation, who has stepped up and made a 10-year commitment to the downtown, both charitable and in terms of development. And then the Shasta Historical Society and Turtle Bay Exploration Park. So we have six partners, but we have so many more. I mean, literally everybody in that room we consider a partner, but for the purposes of getting this application out and getting it done in a very quick turnaround, it was about 3 months. You had 3 months to get this together. If you weren't ready to go, it was a difficult process to really pull off. But But we did it because, as I said, we've been working on all of these things and we've been thinking about it for quite some time. And it was a perfect time because the city of Reading was redoing its downtown specific plan. So they were already in this really beautiful process that set us up to create our footprint as the same downtown specific plan, so that as they're developing their new downtown specific plan, they could include cultural elements to that. And they've been really open to doing that. And so it's been this really beautiful dovetail of everyone's efforts.
So just about a minute left here. When the California Arts Council did the site visit, which was early June, I guess, did you get any readings from that? Were there any aha moments with them?
Yes, there was definitely an aha moment when one of them turned to me and said, as we were leaving, "Deborah, you have all of the elements here. You really have all the fundamental elements here." And that's all she said, but it was enough for me to hang some hope on, because I too believe that we have all of the elements. We just needed something to bring us all together, and like an umbrella idea just to gather under and recognize that it's a beautiful community.
And is there a date by which the California Arts Council will identify who the finalists are, or is it just, or they just say, you know, these are the people who've got, these are the cities that have the districts?
We just received notice that they will make a final determination in July at their council meeting, which all of those councilors, all the council people are appointed by Governor Brown. So this decision will be made, the final decision in July, and we'll be notified in July sometime.
Okay, Reading, one of the semifinalists for designation for a cultural district by the state of California through the California Arts Council, in addition to the Creamery District in Arcata, the Eureka Arts and Culture District, and the Weaverville Art and Heritage Cultural District. We've been talking to Deborah Lucero, who's the executive director at the Shasta Arts Council, the lead agency involved, and Rachel Hatch is with the McConnell Foundation, which is one of the partners as well. Good to talk to you both on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeffrey.